Matthew chapter 1, we're going to just study two verses today. Well, in Matthew, don't want to be misleading, we're going to study a lot of verses in the Old Testament, just two in Matthew this morning, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 12, which is still part of what text we've been studying. Then we're going to look at verse 23, jumping ahead a little bit, and notice these things. Matthew chapter 1, verse 12, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. And then verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You say, well, what in the world do those two verses have to do with each other? Well, you will study today, and then we'll find out. But before we do, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. And Brother Tom, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen? Amen. Now, go back over here to verse 12, and the Bible says, after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias. Well, let's go up a little bit. Let's look at verse 10, Ezekias. Who's that, Ezekias? That's Hezekiah. See, the stuff is not spelled the same in the Old Testament as the New Testament because it's what's called transliterated. I've explained that to you, where if you give the English words, English letters to the Hebrew pronunciation, it comes out Hezekiah. If you give the English letters to the Greek pronunciation, it comes out Ezekias. Same person. All right, Ezekias begat Manasseh. Manasseh, it turns out, reigned for, I think, 55 years, wickedest king that Judah ever had. Manasseh begat Ammon. Ammon begat Josias. Josiah was a great king. You pronounce him Josiah in the Old Testament. Josiah begat Jeconias. Jeconias. Now, what we've got to do is we've got to find this Jeconias character, because when you look in the Old Testament at the kings that are born, you don't find a guy named Jeconias. And so there's something peculiar about this guy, and what we want to do is we want to go back there and see what that is. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 22, and we're just going to spend some time here in the Old Testament for a little while, 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22, look at verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Aadiah of Boscath. Now, this Josiah was a good king. He was very young, 8 years old when he came to the throne, but he did a lot of great things. But later on in his reign, he got the idea that he needed to fight an Egyptian king named Pharaoh Necho. Now, Josiah's father's name was Ammon, and Josiah got the idea that he needed to fight this Egyptian king. Look over here in 2 Kings chapter 23 and look at verse 29. Now, this is the time when that drawing board would come in handy. I think I can do that even though it's got that broken thing on it. Yeah, watch that corner right there because it's broken. And we'll set that deal up. All I need is one of those markers from the children's class. And this will help you a lot. Help you. That's what you say down in Texas. Help you. In somewhere else, you know, they help you. New York. They help use guys. Okay. John's going to get it. Okay. So, now Josiah, look at 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 29. The Bible says, in his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. So the war is between Egypt and Assyria. And King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. The one who got killed is Josiah. Verse 30, his servants carried him in a chariot, dead from Megiddo, brought him to Jerusalem, buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. So, we have Ammon. He has a son named Josiah. And they take Josiah's son, Jehoahaz, and make him king in his father's stead. All right, his father is Josiah. And what happened to this king, Jehoahaz? Now, what's happening here, kind of give you, so you got an overview of where we're going. What's happening is there are enemies that are beginning to attack Judah and Jerusalem. Just like the enemies had attacked Israel and the 10 northern tribes, they start attacking. Assyria gets in on it. Egypt gets in on it. The Chaldeans get in on it. eventually Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar come in, Chaldeans under Nebuchadnezzar come in, and take Jerusalem in the siege and haul the people out to Babylon. Okay? That's what we're leading up to. But what I want you to see is the list of the kings coming down that way because something strange is going to happen here. All right, so Jehoahaz gets the throne from his father Josiah. And what happened to Jehoahaz? Look in 2 Kings 23 at verse 33. What happened to Jehoahaz? Pharaoh Necho, 2 Kings 23, 33, put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. So that's interesting. The king is not going to reign in Jerusalem, and the land, Judah, owes Egypt 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. They're under a tribute. It's like a tax. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah, his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, K-I-M, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. Okay? So, Jehoahaz goes to Egypt and dies there. He's taken captive, and his brother, Eliakim, takes the throne. I wrote that so big, but he's a direct descendant of Josiah, Eliakim, and he changed his name to Jehoiakim. And he became the king in the place of Jehoahaz. His father's name was Josiah as well. So these two guys are descended from the same king. Jehoahaz's son hadn't gotten the throne through this. All right, so Jehoiakim takes the throne in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 34. You're saying, oh boy, this is so interesting. you read it, and when you read it, you're just as interested. You know, you just kind of go, whatever. You know, who cares where they came from and all that. But there's something important that happens here. Bear with me. All right. What happened to Jehoiakim? What happened to Eliakim, whose name was changed to Jehoiakim? Well, look in 2 Kings chapter 24 at verse 1. And notice, we'll read six verses here. What happens to this king? In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up. Now, who was the one that put this guy on the throne? Pharaoh Necho, the king of Egypt. So the balance of power is changing now, and all of a sudden the Babylonians are gaining the upper hand. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Well, it's not good. They've been paying Egypt 100 talents of silver, a talent of gold. Now Babylonians come up, and they're having to serve the Babylonians. And became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him the bands of the Chaldees, those were people that are in that area of Babylon, and bands of the Syrians, that'd be south of them, and bands of the Moabites, southeast of the Dead Sea, and bands of the children of Ammon, east of the Dead Sea, and sent them against Judah to destroy it. So you got a bunch of different people coming after that kingdom. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets, surely, at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah. So God's the one that's instructed them to do this. To remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. Remember, Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah, and Manasseh's son was Ammon. Ammon was Josiah's daddy. So what's happened is Manasseh did something bad here. God's bringing it through, and now he's going to start crushing that kingdom. Verse 4, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, and he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim, that's K-I-M at the end, slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, it's actually pronounced Kin, C-H-I-N, but notice the different spelling at the end, his son reigned in his stead. All right, what happened to this Jehoiakim? It said he died. We know that. How'd that happen? Well, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter... Keep your finger in 2 Kings because you're going to come right back to it. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and look at verse 5 and 6. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verses 5 and 6. Jehoiakim, K-I-M, was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. So Jehoiakim died, captured in Babylon. That's what happened to him. All right, and back to 2 Kings, the person that takes the throne after him in verse 6 of 2 Kings 24 is his son Jehoiakim. I'll say Chin so you just know the difference in spelling. Jehoiakim. Chin. All right. A grandson of Josiah, right? Getting more interested yet? Oh, yeah, you bet. Really getting good. Jehoiakim. Kim takes the throne. His father is Jehoiakim. it's just as frustrating when you read it and you try to sort all this stuff out. I've read this thing and been over this thing so many times. I'm putting this thing all together in a table form for my notes, and I'm just dying as I'm going through this. As a matter of fact, I went and got a cup of coffee. I went and laid down, took a nap. We ought to have a coffee break right now, amen. It's just terrible, you know. You come back there and kind of wake yourself up and splash water on your face and go back to it. And God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, okay, I'll keep studying. So this Jehoiakim fellow, what happens to him? Well, look at verse 15. He also gets captured. 2 Kings 24, verse 15. He carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon and the king's mother. That's important. Just keep that in mind. His mother went with him. And the king's wives and his officers and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay? Now, what happened to him? Well, we know that he was imprisoned in Babylon and taken captive. Go to 2 Kings chapter 25 and look at verse 27 and notice what happened to this king. 2 Kings chapter 25 and look at verse 27 and notice what happened to this king. 2 Kings 25, 27. It came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim. Man, 37 years that guy was captive. King of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, so Nebuchadnezzar's out of the scene, got a new guy up, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, we say Chin, just for simplicity, king of Judah, out of prison, and he spake kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. His allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. So the thing that happened to Jehoiachin, he got a little better situation because Josiah was killed by Pharaoh Necho. Jehoahaz was taken to Egypt and died in Egypt. Jehoiakim, taken to Babylon, died in Babylon. Jehoiachin, taken to Babylon, and 37 years after being in prison, was raised up and then made actually a whole change in the handling of it. And said, we've got all these kings that we've conquered. You're going to be the top king above all the kings in my deal. Complete switch.
Which one had his sons killed in front of him?
We're not there yet. I mean, it's boring enough already. No. Actually, she says, get there, preacher, get there. Amen. All right, so he's released under Jehoiachin is released under Evil-Merodach. And who did he go into captivity with? I said, remember this. His mother. He went into captivity with his mother. That's important. All right. Who took the throne after Jehoiachin is removed from the country? Go back to 2 Kings 24 and look at verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 17. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, here's a good confusing statement, his father's brother king in his stead. That's like going, where are you going for Christmas? Well, I'm going to my mother's sister's aunt's uncle's daughter's children's house by the third marriage. Okay. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah his father's brother king in his stead. Well, his father's brother king in his stead. Mattaniah, then, I'll put it down here just so you know the progression. Mattaniah, who takes the throne after Jehoiachin, Mattaniah, is Josiah's son. So Josiah ended up with three sons that reigned on the throne of Judah. And he changed Mattaniah's name in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 17 again. The king of Babylon made Mattaniah his father's brother king in his stead and changed his name to Zedekiah. That's your man there. You got it. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. That was also, I think, Jehoahaz's mother. These two guys had the same mother. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. That was his brother. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah until he had cast them out from his presence that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Okay, whew, we're getting close. But you know what? We hadn't found a Jeconias yet in all that. Well, because the captivity from Nebuchadnezzar was a long-term captivity. It started in 606 B.C. and didn't conclude until 586 B.C. So this guy's gone to Egypt. This guy is raised up by the Babylonians on the throne. He dies. This guy ends up going in another captivity, and then this guy's put on the throne to rule, and finally Nebuchadnezzar comes in and says, that's it, I'm taking them all. He wipes him out, and there is no king in charge of the country when Zedekiah goes. So it was a long-term process, 30 years, and three different kings, actually four different kings ruled during that whole siege. Okay, so that's why there's still somebody there keeps raising up another king in Judah. Verse 20, 2 Kings 24, 20, for through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah until he had cast them out from his presence that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Until he cast them out, that guy rules. So he rules up until the final deal there. All right, now, go to 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 7. This is what Lois was talking about, 2 Kings 25, 7. Verse 6 for the context, they took the king, brought him up to the king of Babylon to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. They slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. No heir to the throne coming out of this deal. His boys were killed. This guy dies up in Egypt. This guy dies in Babylon shortly after he's over there. The only one left that can produce children to be an heir to the throne is this Jehoiachin fellow right here. He was the guy that was in charge before Mattaniah came in. He's the grandson of Josiah. And he's the guy that was taken captive and imprisoned for 37 years in Babylon. In Babylon. This guy was in Judah. And then he gets his children killed. Thoroughly confused yet? Okay, got it all under control. All right. Look in Jeremiah 52. Jeremiah 52. Jeremiah, by the way, is the prophet that prophesies during all this stuff right here. If you want to know where Jeremiah fits in the deal, this is Jeremiah's business right here. This is what he's prophesying about. Jeremiah 52, verse 10. Jeremiah 52, 10. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also all the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah. Boy, what a sad thing. See your children killed and then poke your eyes out. And the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. Wow. Man, I'm telling you, when God unleashes his wrath on a nation and its rulers for doing wrong, it's bad. It's bad. It's terrible what happened there. That's why he says, pray for them that are in authority. We need to pray for our men because every nation is subject to this same treatment when they get away from God. So we didn't find Jeconias. And it's all wiped out and everybody's been carried off somewhere and dying or whatever. The most likely candidate is this dude right here, because he's the one who is left that can have some offspring. Let's see something with this particular king. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22 and look at verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, in Jeremiah chapter 22, he's called Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. Just read a little bit more. And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. So this prophecy is given right before he's taken captive. King of Babylon, into the hand of the Chaldees, and I will cast thee out, and who? And thy mother, that's the man, that bare thee into another country where you were not born, and there shall you die. Now there he's called Coniah, and when Jeremiah gives this prophecy for the Lord, the J-E that would have been on the front of his name, Jeconiah, the guy we're looking for in the New Testament, is gone. Why? Jehovah, Jesus, this little prefix right here that's on the front of these guys' name is like Jehovah. It indicates the presence of the Lord. In Psalms, he's called Jah. You'll find that written like J-A-H. And when God addresses him, he says, not mine. You're not going to use my prefix on your name. I'll call you Coniah, and I'll show you what he prophesies to him. We know this is the man because he's the son of Jehoiakim. He's carried into Babylon, and he goes in with his mother. Watch it. Verse 27, Jeremiah 22. But to the land whereunto they desire to return, that is, they're in Babylon, they want to come back, they shall not return, thither shall they not return. Is this man Coniah a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, he's got children, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the work of the Lord, the word of the Lord, watch it. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man, what? Childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper where? Sitting upon the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. No, Jay. And none of his children would prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Oh, you said this thing actually means something? Matthew chapter 1, verse 11. Josiah begat Jeconiah. That's our man, Jehoiachin, Coniah in Jeremiah 22, and his brethren about the time they were carried into Babylon. After they were carried to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Shealtiel. He had a son. Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel. He's the guy that goes back in to rebuild the temple. And then Zerubbabel, coming on down. Verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, which is called Christ. What was Jesus Christ guaranteed by the prophecy of Gabriel to Mary in Luke chapter 1? The throne of David. But Jeremiah 22 said, No man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. How did God get Jesus Christ on the throne if none of Jeconiah's seed could rule on the throne of David? The virgin birth. The virgin birth. If it hadn't been for the virgin birth, there's no way in the world Jesus Christ could have gotten that throne because of that curse that was placed in Jeremiah chapter 22. That she could. So it came through, but the way that happened is by the virgin birth. So it's not Jeconiah's seed, and it's not Joseph's seed that's sitting on that throne. It is the seed of our great God and Father, Jehovah, Almighty God. Now, that's a remarkable thing. You look at that thing right there, and you go, well, Jeconiah, what's that all about? Thank God you stayed awake long enough to be able to... That Old Testament stuff can get kind of tough. It does make it exciting. That's the only way that it could happen. And therefore, Isaiah chapter 7:14. Therefore, Isaiah 7:14. They should have known it. They should have known it if they'd have studied their Bibles in Jeremiah and studied this thing in Isaiah 7:14 that was given to Ahaz. They would have known what was fixing to happen. Isaiah 7:13. Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means what? God with us. God with us. And that's how God got it done. Remarkable.